good morning and welcome to services at Prestonwood. We are so glad that you are here on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, and the entire team here. We are so thankful for you worshiping with us, those of you in the room. I know we have many that are in the atrium getting your children checked in. You come on in here, and for all of you watching online, wherever you may be watching from, thank you so very much for taking time to worship with us. I want to encourage you to sing along if you can. Grab your Bibles, get a notepad, get ready to take notes. It is going to be a great, great day. And we are starting this service out the same way that we've started every service out this Advent season, and that is by the lighting of a candle. Of course, we've lit candles representing faith and joy and love. And now today, we light the candle representing peace. And so we have an incredible group of volunteer leaders here in our church. They're going to light this candle. Janet, do us the honors of lighting the candle, white candle standing for peace. We did it. That's good right there, isn't it? Jesus said, thank you so very much, that he is the Prince of Peace. And I want us to pray at the outset of this service, and then we're going to observe baptism and worship. And it's just going to be a great, great day. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we welcome you into this place. Lord, thank you so very much for the privilege to worship you, to celebrate you. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. And we invite you into this place, God. You inhabit the praises of your people. I pray, oh God, that you would be honored by the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, the preaching of your word. And right now, as we observe, Lord, just the testimony of believers' baptism, you change lives, and we're so very grateful. And so, God, thank you for each person here today. May we have an encounter with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's observe baptism.
Well, we do bring you good tidings of great joy. And every one of these being baptized today, 18 this morning, 85 all weekend at Prestonwood. We're grateful for every life changed. If you're a guest with us, know that we're all about Jesus and introducing people to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then to follow him in obedience. And the first step of obedience for the Christian is baptism, believers baptism. So Matt Rucker of our preteen ministry, along with David Shivers of Missions and Evangelism, my associate, will be leading with me in the baptismal service. If you'd like to stand with the person and by the side of the person you know who's being baptized, you're certainly welcome to do this. In fact, I think it'd be a good idea if we just all stood in honor of these who are following the Lord today, and let's celebrate new life in Christ. This is Sam Barbuzzi.
And then we have two sisters, Pastor. This is Annalise Blaine.
And this is Aubrey Blaine.
Upon your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job, Aubrey.
Amen.
Congratulations, Annalise. Yes, awesome.
All right, and this little guy right here, let me see your name, son. There you go. That's Reeve Jerskis. That's right. That's Reed.
We got three brothers. This is Huddy Jerskis.
And Dawson Jerskis.
Brothers together in Christ. How great is that?
Awesome. Praise God.
Boys, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job.
Amen.
Congratulations.
Amen.
Awesome.
All right, this is Jake Lundy.
And this is Cole Lundy.
And this is Molly Kate Lundy.
Brothers and sisters right. Together in
yes.
Christ.
Awesome.
Upon your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to the family of God. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. This is Lyle Lundy, so your dad. All right.
And this is Bo Worley.
And this is Stacy Worley.
Upon your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, baptism is special anytime But what a wonderful time to be baptized here at the Christmas season, celebrating Jesus who's come into the Lord. Okay.
That's from Dr. Abdul. Special request.
Abdul Yosef.
And this is Levi Wilson.
And this is Charlotte Wilson.
So Levi and Charlotte, are you brother and sister? He's ready.
Yes.
Ready. Are you ready, Charlotte? And Abdul, God bless you. Upon your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Congratulations.
God bless you, Abdul.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Got a number of preteens here today, along with adults. And this one is Brady Burns. Brady.
And this is Manny Santana.
This is Kelsey Ojemolan.
Kelsey and Manny and Brady, because of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hi, Lydia. This is Lydia Ortega.
And this is Caitlin Collins.
And this is Lily Valdez.
Lily and Caitlin and Lydia, because of your professions of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Love you. Congratulations, Lily. Congratulations, Caitlin.
Baptism is the beautiful picture of salvation in Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he taught us to obey him, and he himself was baptized, as Rita Gaser is going to be baptized today, along with
Chantel Montgomery.
All right, we have Jessica Castillo.
Ladies, because of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. Amen. God bless you.
Rita, congratulations. Yes.
Is there more?
There's more. Yes, Pastor.
Okay. There's more.
Keep them coming.
Right here. This is Lacey Longquist. Lacey, God bless you.
This is Selena Macia.
And this is Neela Parson.
Because of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen. Well, let's sing together this morning.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joy and strength. Oh, that shall cease day. Oh, Christ in the door, Christ the everlasting Lord, made in time, behold Him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, held in carne, deity, Jesus met with men to dwell, Jesus
sing glory to the newborn King. We're so grateful that Emmanuel, God is with us and His Spirit is with us today. We're celebrating that He is a God of hope and a God of light. I love singing these great songs of Christmas together because it reminds us that our God is not a God who stayed far away. He's a God who came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's continue to worship.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Together.
From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, time.
sing that chorus together one more time.
God of hope, God of light, be our comfort and joy in the night. Son of man, we adore. Emmanuel, our Savior, is born.
Yes, Emmanuel is born, and God is with us. I love that song, one of my favorites. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Translated from the ancient world to this world, it literally means God strengthen you, mighty men. You know, the merry men, think of Robin Hood. These were not men in tights. These were mighty warriors. So God strengthen you, mighty men and women of God, this Christmas season. Take a seat. Let me remind you, first of all, let me welcome everyone online. And tell everyone, all of you online with us and everyone in the room right now, that next week, the 27th, we're all going to be online. We're going to push the pause button on that day on in-person worship services at both campuses, and we're going to bring everyone in for a great service around your table or around your fireplace or around your apartment or on your screen, wherever you are. Let's celebrate a brand new year. I've got a message I'm bringing on the new year that will be coming up on the 27th. So welcome online and welcome everyone in the room. If you're a guest with us today, please fill out the guest registration that's in your program or your worship guide. Take it to Guest Central. We have a book for you there. We'd love to give you one of my books on prayer, I believe, right now. We'd love for you to go by there. Check that out. If you have questions about Christ, what it means to know and follow Him, if you have questions about our church, Prestonwood, what it means to be a part of this faith family, we'd love for you to go by there and check that out. Or just go by and pick up the free gift. And we have a voucher for everyone to go down to Main Street and have lunch on us today. So if you're a guest, pick up that voucher at Guest Central, which is right in the middle of the atrium right behind us here, and go down to Main Street, and we'll have a Christmas lunch together. And this week, of course, is Christmas Eve services on Thursday, the 24th, and 1:30, 3 o'clock, 4:30, 6 o'clock. The 1:30 service, mask only all the way, from parking lot, pews, back to the parking lot. I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to blow out those candles with our mask on, but we are going to figure that out. Of course, we'll figure it out. So we'll have a mask-only service, and then the other three services are mask, not required, but strongly recommended. As we'll be getting together with a lot of people, we'll keep safe distances, of course, as we're doing here, skipping the pews as we can. And keeping everyone safe. And we've been able to do that throughout the year. We're really grateful as the way God has protected Prestonwood from any infections in our services. And that's the goodness of God, the grace of God, and a lot of hard work by people who are making sure that we all stay safe. So that's coming up this week and the end of the year. One more thing I want to mention, and that's Joyous Hope. It premieres tonight on YouTube. It will be seen across the nation on Trinity Broadcasting Network, Daystar, Channel 8 here locally, WFAA, ABC, along with other outlets. It's going to run on numerous platforms. You can go to prestonwood.org and see where it is being shown. We put a lot of time, effort, energy into this. It is broadcast network quality, I assure you. It's something you'll be proud to tell your family and friends about. And we have great music by our team. And then I have the opportunity to give a straight-up gospel message and invite people to come to faith in Christ. That's who we are. That's what we're about. That's why we're doing it. And so please pray for A Joyous Hope. Watch it multiple times if you can. Get the word out. Put it out there on Twitter and social media for others to see and know how to get there. It's going to be a great opportunity for us to share the gospel and the hope of Christ, the joyous hope that is ours in Jesus to the ends of the earth, till the whole world hears. Well, at this time, I want to bring up our teaching pastor, Dr. Jarrett Stevens, his wife, Debbie, and their beautiful girls, Riley, Kelsey, Cameron, and Landry, come on up, and I want our ministers to join us at this time. I want our ministers to join us. So, pastors, if you'll come on up, we're going to have a very special time of prayer. Let's all get out here on the... This is where your dad preaches, right out here, man. He just stays out here on a limb all the time. And we love Jarrett. We love this family. For 20 years, Jarrett has served our church as a pastor, a minister, most recently the last 10 or 11 as teaching pastor. He's had virtually every Saturday night service. I figured it up, Jarrett. That's 400 or 500 sermons on Saturday night, plus Sunday mornings, plus ministry, plus mentoring young men. We've got a group of men behind us here, some veteran staff with us, but also some young pastors and ministers. Just like Jarrett, when he showed up here, right out of Ouachita University, age 22, 20 plus years ago, so you can add it up, and he's got the gray hairs to prove it right here. He's a young, dynamic, powerful man of God, and we've watched him grow and develop and disciple others, reach people for Christ. We love Debbie. She's the perfect wife for Jarrett, and God knew what he was doing when he gave you Debbie for sure. Amen. And then these four precious daughters. In fact, we've got some gifts for the girls here. Can we come around here? Not yet, Jack. You're jumping the gun. See, Jack's not yet mentored quite yet.
Oh, here they come.
Okay. Okay, Jack's going to hear about this for a long time. It's fine. All right. No, so do you know which one is which, Jack? That's Landry. Cookie bouquet for Landry. And cookie bouquet for Cameron. I understand those are your favorite colors. Is that right, girl? Is that your favorite? Purple's your favorite color? Just like Buddy the Elf? Yeah, that's what I thought. And then we have gifts for the beautiful young ladies, Riley, Kelsey, and Debbie. So here's some good stuff in that envelope. I promise you, you're going to like what's in that envelope. And for Jarrett, we have something very, very special. Now, Jack, hold that for me, please. This is the last time I can tell Jarrett what to do. Hold this microphone. So we wanted to pick something out for Jarrett that would be a lasting memory of us as a church, and then also just symbolic of his ministry now and forever until Christ comes again. So, Jarrett, what we have for you is a book of sermons by George Whitefield from 1738. These are original. It's not a copy or a facsimile. This is a rare and awesome book.
Awesome.
And he's already seen it, so he's not looking surprised. But he did love this gift. I mean, you can see it here. And there's Whitfield. That's a weird picture of Whitfield,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, the first sermon in this, and I suggest he maybe preach this down in his first sermon at Champion Forest, where he's going to be the senior pastor. And I know we have Champion Forest members and attenders watching this right now. So we want to say you're getting the best man ever. And we're not real happy about you right now, Champion. But we love you anyway. I told the earlier group from that line in the movie, I do have a certain set of skills, and if you mistreat this young man, I will find you. And I'll leave out the other part. But this sermon is The Heinous Sin of Profane Cursing and Swearing. The opening line is hard to read because it's in the Old English. Among the many heinous sins for which this nation has grown infamous, perhaps there is no one more crying, but withal more common, than the abominable custom of profane swearing and cursing. Now, that'll preach.
Be a good first sermon.
That's a good first sermon down at Champion. Maybe they'll send you back.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a great, great book, and we want you to have it, Jarrett. We've got an engraved piece that will go along with this for us to be able to be in your hearts all the years, each time you see it. So what we want to do now is to pray for Jarrett, for the family, and these pastors are here with us, and I'm going to ask that you stand with us as we're going to just reach our hands out towards Jarrett and Debbie and Riley and Kelsey and Cameron and Landry. And we are going to pray for them. As I've been saying, we're not losing Jarrett and this family. We are launching them, sending them in the name
of the Lord Jesus Christ with love, much, much love in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for hope and the promise of eternal life in Jesus and the message that we bring here and around the world for this church and the people of Prestonwood. Just the devotion and dedication of so many, including the love and support and the prayers they offer those of us who minister the word and who preach the gospel. For the way, Lord, you have used Jared among us, and you have used those among us, the people, to bless Jared and Debbie and this family. May their gifts and abilities and love for you move from this place to a brand new beginning, a new place where we know that you will use and bless and strengthen and help and fill with your spirit and anoint for a brand new season of life and ministry. We pray for your Holy Spirit, a fire and power to be upon this man of God. And we pray for him as Paul prayed for Timothy, that he would flee all sin, and Lord, that he would pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and steadfastness and kindness, and fight the good fight of faith by which he has given the witness before many witnesses, that he would take hold and seize eternal life and preach it to his church, to the community, and to the ends of the earth. We thank you, Lord, for these years and days and blessings that have flowed from this man's life and those in the legacy of his life yet to come. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you, Jared. We love you.
Starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God in
invite you to grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. If it's okay with you, I want to begin at the outset of this final message simply saying thank you, Prestonwood, for the outpouring of encouragement and support and love and prayers that you have sent my way, my family's way this past week. Debbie and I have simply been overwhelmed by all of the notes written, the emails sent, the posts on social media. I've tried to return as many of them as I possibly could. And I just want you to know how much I love you and how much my family loves you. We are so very grateful for these past 20 years at Prestonwood. You have raised me up and you've given me so much grace through the years, providing me an opportunity to grow in my gifting, to flourish in what God has called me to do. And I simply can't say thank you enough. I wish that you could open up my heart and see the love and the gratitude that I have for this faith family, this body of believers, you, Prestonwood. I love you. I also want to say what an incredible privilege it has been to serve on this team, side by side with some incredible pastors and ministers through the year and up till now. Their integrity, their faithfulness to the gospel is so inspiring, and they've made me a better husband, they've made me a better father, they've made me a better friend, they've made me a better pastor. You have an incredible team of pastor, shepherd leaders that are serving you, and I'm so honored to have served by their side. And finally, I want to say this publicly, I've said it privately, but I want to say thank you to you, Dr. Graham, for your investment in me. It has been the honor of a lifetime to serve by our pastor's side. I put it on social media this morning. We traveled the world together. I sent him probably 15 to 20 pictures. I've done a lot of reminiscing this week. And I've sent him 15 to 20 pictures of us in places like India and Germany and Romania and the UK, in Israel. And I can't say thank you to him enough for trusting me with what I believe is the most sacred of all tasks. And that is preaching God's word to God's people. And so thank you, Dr. Graham, for the privilege of a lifetime. You know, my dad is a very simple man, and I've talked about him a lot from the pulpit. He's a hero to me. He is my hero. No one's taught me greater lessons in life than him. He grew up in a farm in South Mississippi. His dad, my pawpaw, quit school in the eighth grade to work on the farm. My dad would have these sayings that he would tell me from time to time, and I had no idea where he got them, where he came up with them, but one of them was this. He said, Jared, if you ever see a turtle that is upside down on a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him there. And I never had the heart to ask my dad, did you actually do that? That's pretty sadistic. But in thinking over these last 20 years, the privilege I've had of serving this great church, now called to be the senior pastor at Champion Forest Baptist Church in Northwest Houston, I now know what my dad was talking about. I am the turtle on that fence post. It is only because of the grace of God and people like you who have put me in a position where God could bless my life in ministry. I am fully aware that I don't deserve this last 20 years at Prestonwood, and I don't deserve what God is going to do in the future at Champion Forest. I know it is because of his favor and because of your blessing. And because of that, I just want to say I love you and I am so, so thankful for you. Now, with that being said, I get to preach on my most favorite subject to preach on. It should be the subject of every message that we preach. It's my favorite person to preach on. It's the person of Jesus Christ. We've been studying this Waymaker Christmas series, and that's what we've talked about. Jesus is the Waymaker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. Today, we're concluding that message with, this is the title of the message, Jesus is Light in the Darkness. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 14. It's a lengthy passage, but it's so rich, so full, so good. The Bible says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John records here that Jesus is the true light, that he was coming into the world and that he would overcome darkness. And it's not just the Apostle John that says Jesus is light. Jesus would say this about himself. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, and again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're looking for a main point to take home today, if you're looking for something that you can take with you this week, chew on, wrap your mind around, think on a little bit, give your attention to, the main point is this right here. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, Christmas is all about lights, isn't it? We know this. We put them on our house. We decorate our Christmas trees with lights. You better believe that these Christmas Eve services coming up, we're going to light a candle. And just what does light symbolize? Well, a few things. First, it symbolizes life. John mentioned this back in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so light symbolizes life. I mean, every morning the sun rises and it's time to wake up. It symbolizes joy. Where there's life, where there's light, there's joy. You ever been in a labor and delivery section of a hospital? Always joy. There's no one moping around there. So exciting because of new life, and there's joy, and there's grandparents making fools of themselves as they look in that room at their grandbaby. Puts a pep in their step. Why? Because it's life. It's joy. This is what life symbolizes. Again, we put lights on our houses. We put them in our trees. Why? Because we're joyful. We're celebrating light. Light also symbolizes hope. I mean, you ask any captain of a ship that is perhaps lost at sea or in the darkest of nights, what gives them hope? Is it not the light of a lighthouse? You ask a pilot who's flying by his instruments only and he's in the midnight sky, or maybe there's a deep fog. What gives him hope? Is it not the lights of a runway? You ask a little child this time of year, what is it about Rudolph's nose that makes him so happy? Is it not the light, the hope that presents are on the way? Light represents life. It represents joy. It represents hope. It's powerful. I mean, just think about it. In a moment, the smallest of light can extinguish the deepest darkness. And the Bible says Jesus is light. He is light in the darkness. Can you imagine a world without light? I mean, you want to talk about hopelessness. 2015, NASA captured this shot of North Korea sitting between China and South Korea. And you see the contrast, the lights of these two countries, and yet no light right there in the middle, North Korea. And we know this country, talk about hopelessness, it's a picture of hopelessness. Light represents life, joy, and hope. And the Bible says Jesus is light. You can just put Jesus' name. He is life. He is our joy. He is our hope. Talk about light coming to darkness. I mean, 2,000 years ago, when the angels announced the the arrival of Christ. It was a dark time. There was no life. There was no joy. There was no hope in the people of Israel. For 400 years, God had been silent. No word from heaven. No prophetic word of God. Now, it's one thing for it to be dark physically. It's another thing for it to be dark spiritually. And for 400 years, complete spiritual darkness. And all of a sudden, the arrival of God in the flesh occurs. Listen how the prophet Isaiah described the arrival of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Jesus is light in the darkness. He's not just light to Israel. He's light to the whole world. Right after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And there in the temple, there was an old man by the name of Simeon. He was a servant of the temple. And when he sees that baby Jesus for the first time, lays his eyes on him. Listen to how he describes Jesus and what he does when he sees Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the hope and the comfort of Israel to come, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. You need to underscore this. You need to asterisk. You need to remind yourself often. Jesus is not just the light to the Jews. He is not just light to the Gentiles. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Interesting, isn't it? Most scholars, when you study that John 8 passage where he says, I'm the light of the world, most scholars think that he said this, made this statement around what is known as the Feast of the Tabernacles. If you're familiar with your Old Testament history, you know the Feast of the Tabernacles was a week-long celebration of remembrance of how God had brought the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. He delivered them, and how did he lead them? With a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He led them by light. While they were in the wilderness, wandering around, being led by this cloud and this pillar of fire, the tabernacle, of course, was where they would worship God. And there in the Holy of Holies, there was a golden lampstand, a menorah, 75 pounds of solid gold, and it would be the only source of light in the tabernacle, never to go out. And when the temple was built, of course, they would have this celebration of remembrance. And toward the end of this 7-day celebration, imagine all of the people in Jerusalem that day gathered at the temple. They would fill the courtyard up with these menorahs. And we're told that rabbis would celebrate and dance around these menorahs. And it was a joyful celebration. Again, remembering that God led them through the wilderness. He led them out of bondage and slavery by light, fire. And it's in this moment that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus wanted them to know that he was the light of the world. He can deliver them. Jesus wanted them to know that he was the one that could lead them. He was the one that was the light of the world because he was the very light of God. Pastor Adrian Rogers, who was at Bellevue Baptist Church, a mentor to our pastors for a number of years, he preached a a sermon on this very passage, and he gave four characteristics, descriptions of light. I thought they were worth sharing today. He said, first, Jesus is the pure light. No purer light, because he is God in the flesh. He has no beginning, no end. This light is incorruptible. It's holy. It's pure. We sing it, silent night, loves pure light. He makes note that Jesus is the constant light. Just like the Holy of Holies, he is the light that never burns out. He's always lighting our way. He's the constant light. I thought about that constant light. We used to go to my grandparents in Mississippi as a kid. We'd always leave on a Friday because Dad had to work, and we wouldn't get there till late at night. They lived out in the country. It was pitch black. You couldn't see anything. But you knew you were getting close because my grandparents lived up on a hill, and that porch light would always be on. It was a constant light for us as kids. We knew we were close to home when that light was on. Jesus is the source of light. I love thinking about the future kingdom of God. You know, the longer I live and the more people I love, think about people that have been such an influence here at Prestonwood in my life, people like Mike Fetchner, people like Joe Perry, who have gone on to be with the Lord this past week. Rod Masteller, former pastor who was a member of this church, hadn't had a stronger encourager in my life over the course of the last 2 years than Rod Masteller. He went to be with the Lord. Longer I live, more people go on to be with Christ. I think about the source of this light because Revelation 21:23 says, in that city, that future city where we'll all be together, those of us who have trusted in Christ, it has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Jesus is the vital light. I mean, plant life can't live without light. It has to be exposed to light to live, and we too have to be exposed to light, the light of Jesus, if we want to live spiritually. He is the light of the world. He came bringing light, giving light and life, the Bible says. But here's the problem. In our sin, we don't want anything to do with light. In fact, we run from it. Jesus said of the people in his day, and it could be said of the people in our day as well. John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, listen to Jesus' words. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. In other words, the very light that represents life and joy and hope, rather than embracing that light, we stiff arm it. Rather than running toward that light, we work to extinguish it, avoid it at all costs. This is the essence of sin, and this is what makes sin's consequences so devastating. It separates us from God, and that is why hell is described as a place of outer darkness. There is no light. So we have a choice to make this Christmas. Three choices, actually. And to bring it even in more to the immediate, three choices that every single one of you here in the room and watching online, you have to make. And you have to make it today. I put them in the first person just so as you're taking notes, you could answer it personally. Here's choice number one, because Jesus is the light of the world. Choice number one, will I reject the light or embrace the light? Jesus said the world rejects the light, doesn't want anything to do with it. What about you? If you embrace this light, receive the light of Jesus himself into your life, the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Embrace the light, become a children of God. Reject the light, and you remain in darkness. And this is exactly what the enemy wants. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, the god of this world, little g, this is Satan, the enemy, the devil. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I'm so glad I'm so glad. As an 11-year-old boy at a preteen camp in Clara Springs, Louisiana, I made the decision to give my life to Jesus, to embrace the light. I'm telling you, it's the best decision I've ever made. I haven't ever regretted it, not for one day. It's the greatest decision I ever made, to embrace the light. And you know what? I was thinking about it this week, just studying about Jesus being the light of the world. I was reminded that much of me coming to Jesus had to do with light. Let me show you why. I have in my study at home this picture right here. It hangs on my wall in my study. In 1989, I went to my first preteen camp with First Baptist Bossier City, Louisiana. I went in 1989, went in 1990, fifth and sixth grade, and this is just a small detail, doesn't really matter. I was two-time preteen camper of the year, okay? That doesn't matter, but I wanted to let you know. Got the trophies to prove it, and look, they don't just pass those out. These aren't participation trophies, all right? These are camper of the year trophies. I had to memorize verses, serve. We had a camp pastor who, to keep 11 and 12-year-old boys and girls' attention, did a chalk talk. That's what this is. It's just chalk. And every night, he did a different talk. And he would be giving a Bible story as he's telling that talk. And I remember the night that I trusted Christ. He's painting this picture, and he's talking about this boat being out on the waters. And he says, this is some of your lives. This is what sin does. It just tosses you around. And if you want to get saved, Jesus is the lighthouse. He's the light of the world. And I remember him teaching this, and all of a sudden this would happen every night. The lights would go down, and all of a sudden the light would come on. And there's Jesus looking out over that boat, the lighthouse lit up, pointing the way. And I knew in that moment, although I had grown up in church, had a mom and dad that brought me to church, I knew that I was separated from God because of my sin. And when he gave the invitation that day, I came running to the light. I embraced the light. And it's the greatest decision I've ever made. Amen. Guys, you can go ahead and turn the lights back on. You have a choice. Will you embrace the light? Or will you reject it? Choice number two. Will I walk in darkness or walk in light? This is the same choice Paul gave the believers in Ephesus. They had made a decision. He's writing believers in Ephesus. We just got out of an Ephesians series a few months ago. And he's talking to people who have embraced the light. They've received the light of Jesus, and yet they were still walking in darkness. You know that can happen, right? I mean, that's the reality. For some of you listening to me this day, you've received the light into your life, but if you are honest, you're walking in darkness and you're taking Jesus, the light of the world, who lives in you, places he has no business going. You're walking in darkness. And Paul warned these believers. He said, you're children of light. Don't walk in darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time, you were darkness. This is who you were before you embraced the light. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Walk in light. Walking in darkness, Christian, only leads to heartache and regret. Walk in light. This is who you are. You're a child of the light. This means give yourself to God's word. I mean, if there's one message I would leave with you, it is to walk in light. You do it with an open Bible and a bended knee. Scripture tells us, Psalm chapter 119, verses 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. There's power when you combine the word of God with a vibrant prayer life. This is your flashlight in life. Psalm chapter 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice, it's not a spotlight. I told you a couple of weeks ago, God started stirring in my heart over a year ago. Something was happening. I didn't know what, and I was wishing then, God, give me a spotlight so I could see into the future, but he didn't do it. What he gave me, as I gave myself to his word and to prayer, was he gave me a light in my path that I could walk every single day. And I'm telling you, I'm so grateful for his word and prayer, because there is no way that I could make the decision I'm making to go to Northwest Houston by faith if I didn't have the Holy Spirit of God leading me and the word of God lighting my way. No way I could do it. So make the choice today to walk in light. And look, now's the time. I mean, this is the only thing that matters. I mean, we know that Jesus came once. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. Jesus coming into the world. But the Bible teaches Jesus is coming again. And he could come at any moment. And so this should be motivation. This should be encouragement to walk in the light. He could come at any moment. Paul, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, it was motivation for him. He says, besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation, the return of Christ, it is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. John said the same thing, 1 John 5, 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you got a choice to make today. Embrace the light, reject the light. Walk in darkness, walk in light. Third and final choice, no one can make it but you. And that is this: will I hide my light or let my light shine? Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, his first sermon, said, you are the light of the world. You is in its emphatic there. That means you and you alone. You and you alone. It's also in its plural because he's talking to everybody. He says you and you and you. He's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. He says a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I never can read that passage without thinking of that old children's song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, you know it. Hide it under a bushel? No. We're going to let it shine. I love the Message translation. Eugene Peterson, listen to how he wordsmiths this. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. When we let our light shine, when we serve in Jesus' name, whatever it is we do, it could be coaching out here on the fields of PSO or heading down to Bridge Builders in the inner city. Letting your light shine might mean just putting a small shoebox together for Samaritan's Purse to be delivered to some children who need a smile on Christmas. Or maybe it's just serving in the children's ministry or singing in the choir. Just making your light shine, letting your light shine. It might be leading a life group or taking part in some discipleship ministry of this church or going on mission. But whatever it is, when we let our light shine, it points people to Jesus, who is the light of the world. This is something that I've always loved about you, Preston Wood. You've always let your light shine and pointed people to Jesus. I've been asked a lot lately, what are you going to miss the most? And Of course, it's the relationships. It's the relationships. I love you. But as I thought about that question, I've been reminiscing a lot. I remember the first time I drove down Hebron Parkway to report to Prestonwood. I was actually interviewing. And I remember coming down Hebron Parkway and seeing the church, thinking, there's no way that's the church. Like, that can't be. It's got to be where the Mavs play. There's no way that's the church. And I remember coming in, being so overwhelmed. I thought this place, I just knew it was going to chew me up and spit me out. It's been an incredible place. You've raised me. You've loved me. And I remember one of the highlights was when we were putting the cross on the top of the tower. Many of you were there. We went outside and we lit candles and we sang together. And that cross went up on that tower. You want to know one of the things I'm going to miss the most? Because Prestonwood is situated in one of the highest hills in this region. You can see it from everywhere. See it from 121, you can see it from George Bush, see it from over here on the tollway. One of the things I'm going to miss the most is driving around, specifically at night, and seeing the light of that tower point people to what you, Prestonwood, have always been about, and I pray by God's grace will always be about. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let's keep letting our light shine for the glory of God. Amen. And would you stand with me all across this room? I want us to pray. I want to lead us in a time of invitation. For those of you watching online, this invitation for you, you want to trust in Christ. You want to receive the light. Why don't you pray a prayer just like this and say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Sin is dark, and it's the light of Jesus that exposes that darkness. And so when we turn from our sin and we place our faith in Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that's when Jesus gives us life. It's when He gives us joy. It's when He gives us hope. Best decision you can make today is to ask Jesus to live in your life. And just let us know by typing in the name Jesus to 74788. That's Jesus to 74788. You see it there on the screen. We want to put resources in your hand. We want to know who you are. We want our online pastors to follow up with you. And so just type in the name Jesus. We're praying for you right now. All kinds of people watching this from all different places. Amazing to think that the light of the world is lighting up people's life right now all over the world. If you're here today and you've never embraced the light, this is a time in our service where we give you the opportunity to do so. And so our pastors are going to be down here. They're going to have masks on. And you just come and you just say, I'm giving my life to the light of the world. And we'll take it from there. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Maybe you want to join a church like Prestonwood. There is no greater church in America than Prestonwood. I encourage you to join today. Best decision I ever made was joining Prestonwood 20 years ago. Why don't you come and join Prestonwood? If you need to be baptized, just like the 18 that we saw this morning, the nearly 40 that we'll see at the 11 o'clock service, you come forward. We'll schedule your baptism. Nothing like it. So I want to pray. We're going to sing. If you want to make a decision, I want you to come. Father, in Jesus' name, this is your invitation. And where you've spoken to hearts, may we respond by faith. In the name that is above every name, the light of the world, we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.